Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, and we would like to hear from you. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, and that is good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus here, after the Sermon on the Mount, as he's winding it down, putting the buttons on it to really bring it together, he talks about foundation. And wise people build foundations on rock. Foolish people build foundations on sand. And so each builds a house. Storms come, and only one is going to stand, and that's the foundation that's built upon the rock. And that's what we're talking about this month, is where are you building your foundation? Where are you building that house? And so I thought today we could talk a little bit about this passage, dissect it a little bit, talk about the fact that they're building houses. What's a house? It's a place where we live. It's a place where we're comfortable. It's a place where the things that are of most importance to us are held and we enjoy. And so we're all going to build a house. We're all going to find a place that has meaning to us. For some, that place is out there in the world. It's in money. It's in sex. It's in relationships. It's in power. It's in status. That's where you feel most comfortable. That's where you feel life is really going to be experienced to the full. Others are going to find that foundation or build their house upon Jesus Christ himself. They're going to recognize that he's the source of life, and they're going to center their lives on him. Now, they're houses, right?
Yeah.
And so for both of those houses, storms are going to come. Life is going to happen. One is going to stand, the other is going to fall. If you're building your house on the things of this world, that's just shifting sand, and it's not going to have enough strength and support to enable that house to stand when the storms come. Only Christ can withstand the storms of this life. Only in Christ can we find true life, true contentment, true joy through faith in him. So if we're going to be smart, if we're going to have wisdom, then we need to build our lives in Christ. We need to recognize that he is the source of life, and then our minds and our hearts and everything else needs to be centered on him. That's what repentance is all about, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's moving our lives into the center of Christ Jesus. And that's what happens with all of us who come to know Jesus Christ. We believe what he says. We hear what he says, and we put our faith in what he says. We put those words into practice. It's all about belief, isn't it? Now, some will read this passage and think, oh, here's what I need to be doing. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here at all. He's talking about what we should be believing. And what we should be believing is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. We should be believing that Jesus has come that we might have life and have it to the full. We must be believing that Jesus is the bread of life, and all who come to him will never hunger or thirst. We must be believing that Jesus is the light of the world, and he who follows him will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So this isn't about doing. This is about believing who Jesus is and what he's come to do in all of our lives. And when we build our life upon that foundation, then we have a really, really solid house that we can find real life and experience true life in.
Absolutely. Well, that's the good news that you hear each day on Basic Gospel. We'd love for you to join the conversation at 844-322-2742. As a matter of fact, Matt from Rochester, New York is on the line right now. We'll go to him in just a moment. But first of all, I want to remind you that because of what you did, friends, in 2016, we were able to reach out to people all across North America and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. We so very much appreciate the many of you who stepped forward with a gift at the end of the year to help us move into 2017. One of the important ways that we reached out was through Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And this month, we're making Simple Gospel, Simply Grace available to all of you who help us keep the message going with a donation to Basic Gospel. Click donate at basicgospel.net to make a donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Yeah, Bob, let me just share an email, and I want to say thank you to all of our supporters who stand with us. You know, there's a great passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul is talking about stories and how God is writing the story of his life on the hearts of people through the Holy Spirit. And here's one story that really touched me. A lady named Debbie, who lives here in the Dallas area, her sister was diagnosed with cancer, and she had the opportunity to introduce her sister to the Lord through the Basic Gospel radio broadcast. And she says, in the past few months, I have shared with you how my sister Marcia came to know Jesus through your ministry via audio recordings, emails of Basic Gospel. She loved listening each day as she had gone blind recently from the brain tumor. She clearly understood and believed the gospel in all of its grace and its simplicity. Marcia passed away on December 4th, and toward the end, she was the happiest dying person I have ever seen. Wow. She always had a sweet spirit and a smile on her face, and frequently mentioned she was looking forward to heaven. She mentioned several times she kept seeing the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, and she is gorgeous. And it goes on to say that there was a pastor that over the last couple of weeks of Marcia's life came in and would just read scripture to her. And every time he would open his mouth and read from the Bible, she would get a smile on her face because she knew her Jesus and was looking forward to seeing him. Well, those are the kinds of stories that God writes through Basic Gospel, through just delivering the simplicity of the message that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again so that people could experience life, forgiveness, hope, and freedom. Well, Debbie had the opportunity to share this life, forgiveness, hope, and freedom with her sister through the Basic Gospel broadcast, and it enabled Marcia to face the most critical thing in her life with certainty, with joy in her heart, and best of all, a smile on her face. Yeah. Because she knew that Jesus loved her. I can't think of a more moving story than that one. And I just say thank you to all of our listeners, our supporters out there, yeah, who love the Lord, yeah, enough to give of their resources so that a person named Marcia could come to know him and could be, once she took her last breath, absent from the body and present with the Lord Jesus. Yeah. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I know Debbie says thank you as well from the bottom of her heart.
Well, it's because, as you said, so many of our listeners have stepped forward and stood with us to proclaim this good news that goes out all across, literally all across the globe.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Matt in Rochester, New York. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys. You know, hearing a testimony like that just makes me want to shout.
Doesn't yeah. it, though? Yeah. Oh, man, I just, I read that email a couple of days ago, and you know, a part of me just wept, a part of me was so humbled, and then there was something inside that just rejoiced with Marcia, with her sister Debbie, knowing that she is in the very arms of Christ Jesus. It's just the most moving thing that you could ever know and experience, and wow, what a privilege to be a part of that story.
Yeah, to God be the glory.
Yeah.
I had a question. I didn't have a chance to call in December, and I was thinking about the theme of joy, and I just really enjoyed it. And I was talking to a fellow who shared with me, a Christian without joy is like someone that has a loved one that dies, and their name is put on a will, and they go to the attorney's office, and the attorney gives them this last will and testament, and their name is in it to receive all the great gifts from this person that died, and they never open it, and they don't know that their name is on it. And that's kind of like a Christian without joy. They just don't know what's available to them. It's there, and they just never open it up. And I just thought I wanted to share that before I asked my question.
Yeah, Matt, that's a great illustration. And, you know, I think so many believers today are living without joy because they don't know that they're a part of this new covenant. They don't know that they are a part of God's will, that there are promises and things that God has declared through this new covenant that are theirs as a part of their eternal inheritance. They're living as paupers when in reality they have the riches of God's grace and every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus.
The question I had is kind of twofold. In Genesis 12:3, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee, and all these shall all families of the earth be blessed. I've always been taught that refers to Israel as he's speaking to Abraham, and I believe that to be true. I'm curious if there's any verses in the New Testament that also make that promise to Israel. I hear it taught a lot that in politics currently in the current world stage, how nations that aren't good to Israel will not be blessed. And I just didn't know if that was a New Testament promise, or if there's a reference in the New Testament to that same type of promise. And if I can ask another question, then I can just jump off and listen.
Okay.
Regarding dispensational truth, I've heard a couple of fellows not long ago, not a church that I'm involved with, but saying something about books that are written by Paul are for the current church, and books written by Peter are not necessarily for us. And I didn't know if there's anything you've ever heard of or how you might respond to someone that makes a statement like that. Yeah. And I just really appreciate you guys. Now I'll just listen to you the rest of the time off the air. Yeah.
Thanks, well, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Great questions. You know, this is interesting, this promise to Abram in Genesis 12, which was added to in Genesis 15 and, you know, several other places in the book of Genesis, and yes, we see the full story of God's promise, and we call that the Abrahamic covenant. Mm-hmm. And it was a covenant that really has been fulfilled or brought to fruition in Christ Jesus, hasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a part of this where it says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. There's a part of that we look at as Israel, mm-hmm. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the 12. But all of that had a fulfillment in Christ.
Yeah.
It is through Abraham's seed that the world is going to be blessed. So anyone who curses Abraham is really cursing the name of Jesus, aren't they? Because he's the seed. He is the promise. He is the one through whom the world is going to be blessed. So Jesus was kind of the end of that story, wasn't he?
Yes.
And so I think we need to recognize that, you know, all of Scripture really is talking about Jesus, and that Jesus really is the Israel of God in many ways. And so we think of this as Israel, the nation of Israel, and yes, that that has merit to it, and yes, that is something that we need to embrace as a reality. But I think even more than that, we need to recognize that this really is a story and a message about Jesus.
Yes.
That through him the world is going to be blessed, and ultimately, it's whether we accept Jesus or reject Jesus, that blessing and curses come, right?
Absolutely.
So if I reject Jesus and I die rejecting Jesus, then my eternal state is eternal separation from Jesus and from
eternally
God.
Eternally cursed.
Eternal death. When I receive Jesus, then I'm eternally blessed. Mm-hmm. I have received the blessing of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. So yes. I think that's an important deal. Dispensational truth, that's something that it's a way to look at Scripture. So there's several different ways to look at Scripture, hermeneutic, I guess we would call it, from a theological standpoint. Dispensationalism is one of those. C.I. Schofield, if anybody has the C.I. or the Schofield Study Bible, that is laid out in a dispensational framework, through that framework. So it's one of these things where God deals with mankind in different ways. So there's seven different dispensations, as Schofield laid them out, and he would say that we are now in the dispensation of grace. Others reject that, and they would look at it from a covenant standpoint, covenant theology, and that God deals with people through covenants. And there's good and bad in both of those. I think where dispensationalism gets it wrong is it divides the Bible up into too many compartments. There's too many different lines of division, and it looks as if there's different stories that are being told. I think the Bible is a single story about Jesus.
Yes.
And what we experience through faith in Jesus. So a lot of dispensationalists will take the point and say, you know, Peter had a message to the Jew, mm-hmm. which was a different message than what Paul had to the Gentile. So there's a gospel to the Jew and a gospel to the Gentile. I don't think that holds any water. I don't think when you read the Word of God that you see a difference. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and spoke to the Jews in Israel on that day of Pentecost, he told them about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and that how through faith in him they could receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Guess what Peter talked about? He talked about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the Gentiles were going to be included in that. So one message about Jesus, one faith, one hope, one Lord, one baptism, all of that is one in Christ Jesus, and we experience it, whether Jew or Gentile, through faith in Jesus Christ. So I think it's important for us to recognize that there is a single story that the Bible tells. That single story is the story of Jesus. We get included in that story, both Jew and Gentile, through faith in the risen Savior.
Absolutely.
Plain and simple.
Plain and simple. Matt, thank you for your call. It's good to hear from you.
Well, thanks. Let's go down and talk to our friend Clay. Hi, Clay.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
I'm believing for a prosperous one, and we'll be in health according to how our soul prospers in the Word of God.
Well, Jesus is the overseer of our souls, and, you know, that's what the Word of God does. It brings, you know, wholeness to who we are, and that's an inside-out process, isn't it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, I like the subject this month about how to build the church. I see the rock, okay, and a foundation as the same thing. I've been in construction all my life, and I was thinking about this construction meeting that Jesus called the disciples. He said, I don't want to have a building discussion with you. And he says, who do men say I am? Or how do men say we ought to build on this foundation? And, the, you know, and they tell him what men says. He's okay. So he changed it about. He said, yeah, that's what they say. But now, how do you say we build upon this foundation? And then Peter answered and said, well, you're Christ, Son of the living God. And like you said the other day, flesh and blood or men's mind didn't reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. Okay. Well, I see that construction plan or the prints to that to building upon that foundation as the who do we say he is? Okay, like you said, it's all about Christ. And, you know, I don't really know. I haven't been to Jerusalem and stuff, but I don't believe that they actually laid a foundation to build Solomon's temple. I believe that it was a natural foundation of rock as a shadow, like Ornan's threshing floor. And I just wanted to see, you know, so whatever we build upon that rock, if it's not in Christ, it's going to be wood, hay, stubble, or straw. And some of it even looks like gold and silver, but it's perishable too. What do you think about that?
Well, Christ is the architect and the builder of the church, right? He's the cornerstone. The apostles, the teaching of the apostles are really the foundation. And we build our lives upon that foundation. We build our communities on that foundation. So when the early church met, as Luke talks about in Acts, they met for the apostles' teaching, for fellowship and prayer. They encouraged one another. They stimulated one another to faith and good deeds in Jesus Christ. That was the reason for their meeting, and they met daily. And so they recognized that Christ was everything. They weren't trying to add to Jesus. They weren't trying to take away from Jesus. They just wanted to stand, to take their stand on that gospel message. And that's what we need to do as well, to take our stand on the gospel message. And then we can see this church growing from there. And what we mean by a church growing is that more and more are added to the number. People come in from, you know, outside. They believe the good news. They have revealed to them that Jesus truly is the way, the truth, and the life. And then they're added to that number. And that's a great thing. And so our relationships one to another are built upon and through that foundation of Christ and the apostles' teaching. So that's how it all works. And, you know, as it says, you know, no one can tear that down. The gates of hell cannot stand against that. Nothing can stand against the work of Christ through the people of God. And that's good news, isn't it?
All I can say is amen to that.
Yeah.
Talk to y'all later.
Hey, thanks, Clay. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
And, yes, indeed.
And that really is the deal. You know, as far as our lives are concerned, the foundation is this, that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. How did that happen? Well, it happened by grace through faith in Jesus. It happened because God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. And Jesus died according for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried, and on the third day, he was raised again according to the scriptures. It's his work, his grace that saves. We receive that through faith in him. And when we do, we're added to the body of Christ. We have a foundation on which to stand and to build our lives, and that's where we find our center. And that changes everything for us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob. You know, Bob Christopher's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, highlights the fact that grace is not only the door that grants us entry into God's house, it's the way we live once we're in. Grace provides everything we need for life and godliness, and many have learned and begun to live in this truth as Simple Gospel, Simply Grace has pointed them to the one who offers love, grace, and the life that we live. And this month, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace is available to everyone who cares to help us keep the message going. So with your gifts this month to Basic Gospel, you receive a complimentary copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace by Bob Christopher. Just click Donate at BasicGospel.net to make a donation and receive your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. Well, thanks for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel.